we could go ahead and then just everyone of us lift our hands and invite the Lord in this place. Thank you, Lord, for this Sunday morning where we have the freedom, Lord, to give you the glory and the honor that you are so, so worthy of. You are a good God, and I'm so grateful. I'm so blessed to know you, to have your name applied to our lives. We're so blessed, God, to have the liberty, Lord, to give you the glory and to call on your name. I pray, God, that you will just move in this service this morning, God, that we will be hearers of your word and apply your word to our lives. Oh God, that we would be open to what you have for us this morning. Let us not be a slave to a program. Oh God, but truly be sensitive to your direction and to your leading. You are a good God, and I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Promises.
Has he promised you anything? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Be in the house of the Lord this morning. You can be seated at this time. This is our third week going into our new Sunday schedule. And I got thinking while we were singing, I remember it was 2004, I received the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't too long before I was asked to be used in children's ministry and Power Hour for the first 4 or 5 years. I would hardly ever come up here on a Wednesday night. I got to go down there and serve milk and cookies and help kids color and help pick them up on a bus route. And it wasn't too long before that. I got Mark's here this morning, and I remember spending time teaching with him on Sunday school and the Sunday school ministry. And then it wasn't too long after that. Sister Angie and I got to work together in youth ministry, and I got to work with Sister Holly. And here we are this morning teaching adult Sunday school for the very first time. So it's something that I never do take lightly, and I'm so thankful and that God chose to use me. Some things we don't understand, but one thing that I do want to do is at the end of this life is to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So just be obedient to him and what he asks us to do, just do it and say, you know, "Lord, I trust you with what you asked me to do, and I'm going to just go ahead and do it." So, and that's, I pray that it would be your prayer throughout your lifetime in Jesus' name. I want to start out using this object lesson. It's something that's been on my mind, and wasn't too long ago. It was this week, just a few days ago, and I don't know about you, but do you ever hear a specific word from God, and you know that it was something that just was not an accident, and it'll stop you? I remember the first time I heard it, it was about 11:30 on a Saturday night. I was here praying for the service the next morning, and I was standing over here, and I remember hearing the word that it came out of my mouth when I was praying, and the word was transcend. And I didn't think about it much, but about a week later, the following Saturday, I looked up the word, and it says to move past the negative. And I'm like, okay, Lord, there's a reason why you put that word in my mouth to say that I would remember and think about it. And you knew that I was going to go up to get in Webster's dictionary and look up that definition, because I would need to eventually apply that particular word to my life to move past negative things, maybe negative people, maybe a negative circumstance in my life. Move past, don't be stuck in it, and don't stay there. And this word that came to my mind, it was on a Tuesday morning. Of all places, I was working in a Catholic church being built in Elburn. I was on a lift. It was about 25 feet, and we were going up 35 feet on these big scissor lifts inside the building. And I've heard this before, and I was familiar with it. And it was something that stuck with me every day this week after I heard it. The word was permeate. So I went to look up the definition of the word permeate, and it says to pass or spread through something. To pass or spread through something. I got thinking about this as something permeates, as something maybe would permeate through the sand. There would have to be something that would not be in its way for it to allow it to be permeated, for allow it to sink in there. Something that would obstruct something from being permeated would be something that would be some layer or something, situation that would cause and keep something from going into us to keep us from being permeated. For maybe the Word of God to be able to be permeated within us. How do you ever read the Word of God or hear the Word of God? And at times when you hear the Word of God or you read the Word of God, it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. It's kind of like a water off the duck's back. But Lord, what is keeping your word from permeating, from getting into my heart and getting into my mind? This is not the lesson that I'm going to be speaking about. I felt like I needed to share this with you because something that will stick in your mind and won't let go, I felt like it was as important enough to share. Because we can go through this service today, and if we don't allow the Word of God to permeate, to get into our heart and to our mind, we're going to walk out of here unchanged as if something never happened. But I want the Word of God just to flow. The Word of God continually and the Spirit of God continually flows in this place. It's amazing how incredible the power of God manifests itself. But I need to let some layers come off and allow God to permeate. Otherwise, we're going to be like this buoy. We're going to be like something where when God decides to move, he's going to move no matter what. But am I going to allow him to saturate, to move in this heart and in this mind? Or am I just going to kind of stiffen up, become to have a hard heart, and just let it go past me? God is always moving in this place. It's incredible. But the first thing was we have one or two things that we have. Either we have layers or we have this hardness within us. And the second thing, if we don't remove layers, we need to be broken. That's the only way that God is going to allow himself to permeate in this mind, in this heart. So, I I want to speak this morning about the faithfulness of God. God is the one great constant in the universe, the unchanging factor in the equation of life. When we miss the mark of keeping him center, it doesn't take long before we realize that something is missing, something seems off. And I have this wall words in my house. I have some in the kitchen and some in the living room, and I have one in my hallway. It says, "Jesus, you are the center of my home." And I look at it at times. Sometimes I pay no attention to it, but I remember looking at the wall words, and I was talking to one of the girls in the hallway. I had the door open and talking to them while they were in the bedroom. And I looked at it, and I'm like, "Lord, I want you to be more of the center of my home. Lord, forgive me for not always allowing you to be the center of my home." So it is useless. Those words are useless unless I apply it. It's no different than having a gym membership in my back pocket. Unless I use it, it's useless. So that is something that's just, I'm sharing a little, some personal things with me. God is a God that cannot lie. In Numbers 23:19 says, "God is a man that he should not lie, neither the son of man he should not repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Joshua was a leader who followed Moses and became the next leader in Israel after Moses. And he was a man who exercised complete dependence upon God and upon his promises. Joshua was a man of prayer, but also a man of action. In his testimony to the people of Israel, before he died, he said, "Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed." David was another man of God who led Israel, and he could always depend upon the word of God. And it says in 2 Samuel 22:30 and 31, it says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is tried. He is a buckler. He is a shield to all them that trust in him." And I got to think about this. Through him, I could overcome any obstacle in my life. I could go to scripture and say, David overcome obstacles in his life. Joshua depended upon God's word, and he overcome impossible situations because he trusted in God's word and in the promises that he gave his people. And I'm so thankful for that. Not only is God our offense, but he is also our defense. And I'm so thankful for that. He defends us, but we can do all things through him. And we can overcome any obstacle in life in Jesus' name. The word of God is true. If his word is true, it must be absolutely reliable. We can see in earth and in the heavens how God has allowed man to measure time. The tide on the Atlantic and in the side of North America continually changes from high to low tide in about 6 hours and 13 minutes. The moon takes 27 days, 7 hours, and 43 minutes to rotate on its axis. At 37,000 miles per hour, the earth takes 1 year to circle the sun. There's accuracy in everything God says and does. In James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And I saw this one picture one time, and somebody posted it on Facebook, that you stick a light up to a wall. You will not see a shadow of the light, but you will see the stick. God is a light, so when there's no variableness of shadow of turning, he is light, and he gets rid of darkness. Darkness has to flee, and there's not even no shadow of it in Jesus' name, and I'm so thankful for that. God is the originator of all light and truth. Whether physical or spiritual, he is unchanging. And Luke 21:33 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." We could totally rely upon his word. God cannot deny himself. In scripture, a covenant was a sacred agreement between two individuals that required commitment and mutual trust. We see there's multiple examples in the Old Testament where individuals would walk between an animal cut in half. They would share a meal together. They would also use salt in a particular agreement. We might break God's covenant and lose our provision, but God remains true. In 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Jesus describes himself in many ways in John's using the expression, I am. One is the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd. Another, the resurrection, master and Lord, I am he. The way, the truth, and the life, the true vine. I am so thankful for that, that he reiterates things in my life. He reiterates things in his word, that I can go to his word, then I can repeat it, I can say it over and over again. Sometimes we need to hear the word of God, and we need to speak the word of God so our ears can hear what the word is saying, that we convince ourselves. We hear a lot of what this world is saying. We hear a lot of the negativity. We hear a lot what errs to the truth that isn't in the word of God, in Jesus' name. But we need to hear the word. We need to speak the word. We need to hear our voice and let it permeate into our ears in Jesus' name. Jesus was about to be crucified, buried, raised, and ascended into heaven. Peter said in John 13:37, Lord, why can't I follow thee? And Thomas, in the following chapter, says in John 14:5, says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus assured his disciples he would prepare a place for them in his Father's house, just as Jewish bridegroom prepares for his bride in his Father's house before the marriage. That is incredible. We still desperately need to hear the word of God permeate in every part of our being. We just need not let it go into one ear. We need to let it go in both ears. Lord, let it affect my heart. Let it affect my mind. Let it affect my spirit. Lord, a lot of times we pray for healing and we allow people to come forward to be anointed for, and we see where people have physical ailments. But Lord, if I have a wounded spirit, if my heart has been wounded, if my soul has been wounded, Lord, heal that too. Permeate, get into the uttermost part of my being. Get into where there is places that, Lord, I'm not even aware of, Lord. Just get in there and soak in every part of me, Lord, in Jesus' name. I've had to do this recently. Lord, I trust you with something that I have no control over. Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I trust you with this in my life. Lord, I trust you with this. With tears going down my face, Lord, I trust you with this. Lord, I trust you with this. I'm going to say it over and over again until I convince myself, until I can sleep at peace at night, knowing by faith, Lord, I have released this of myself and have given it to you. That is when you know that you have let go and let God have control of a certain situation. He allows things to happen in your life, and we are control freaks at times, if we like to admit it and just be honest with ourselves. We want to be in control of the wheel. We want to be in control of situations. We want to be in control of areas where we're not physically present. But, Lord, you have allowed certain things to happen, and I can't be everywhere where my children are. And yet, I want to control certain things in their life, but they're getting older. I have to let them go. I have to let the leash get a little longer. But, Lord, I am not where they are, but I have to trust you that you have your eye on them. Just like you have your eye on me right where I'm at right now, you are not blinking. You see everything. You know every intimate detail of my life. You know every intimate detail of their life. I trust you. I let go of that in Jesus' name. There's a peace when that resonates, when that permeates, there's a peace you can let go. You know, Elsa went on a missions trip a couple years ago. She had to go on a plane ride to Alaska. That was a long ways away. Peace, peace, God's peace. Just let him have control. He's got this. It's easier said than done at times, to be honest with you. David Livingston is a missionary. Was a missionary to Africa. He stood with one useful arm by his side. The other was crushed by a lion. Livingston addressed the University of Glasgow, where he received a doctorate in law. He said, would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among people whose language I could not understand, whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this. It says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I read that, and it's something I will never forget. This was years ago. I was walking through the town of Hinckley on some afternoon. I was there. I was inviting, trying to get people to come to church. knocking on a door, handing out our church cards and stuff. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not getting the response that I would like to get. I'm here. I'm here for you. I want to see church growth. I want to see somebody that's never been here before to experience what we experience. This was the exact words that I heard that permeated in my heart and my mind. It says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It does not matter what place you're in, what state of mind you're in. If you could be in a crowd of thousands of people and feel like the loneliest person in the world, you could be in a situation in a moment in time, in a season of your life, where you feel like you're the loneliest of the loneliest, and Lord will speak. And if we don't hear that, say, Lord, just take the layers off of me. If I can't get these layers off me, if this won't do it, Lord, break me. Allow me to be broken. Lord, permeate this heart and this mind. Lord, heal this wounded spirit. Lord, if I have, Lord, he knows us better than we know ourselves. Lord, continually examine me. Lord, there may be something in my heart and in my mind that I'm not even aware of. Lord, just get in there. We are fooling ourselves if we try to keep it hidden from him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He made us. He knows things that maybe we've been holding on to for years, maybe decades. Lord, permeate every part of my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. Lord, let me learn to let go of it, Lord. Lord, I'm tired of treating the symptoms. Lord, what is the root cause of this? Lord, let it be uprooted. Let me be able to sleep at night. Let me to have peace that I haven't had in a long time. He'll bring things to remembrance. The Lord will teach us all things. He will bring all things to remembrance, to our remembrance. He will lead us and guide us to all truth. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what we need in our life. We have to have it. It's not an option. We need this. I desire it. I desire more of it. Lord, I just don't want you sometimes. I just don't want to have you be center at times. But Lord, I want you to be center all the time. We're going to stumble. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to fall. But I'm so thankful for repentance that we could come to him and say, Lord, I humbly come before you, Lord. I did not put you center in this decision in my life. Lord, I did not acknowledge you, Lord. I started to assume things in my life and make decisions on my own without including you. Lord, forgive me for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. He is the true word. Only his truth can save us, satisfies, sanctifies, and set us free. The gospel message to us does not reform people, but it transforms people. To reform means to improve your own behavior or habits. To transform means to change in composition or structure, to change in character or condition, to undergo genetic transformation. That's what happens when you become transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. You become what is and says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, that chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We need to be reminded of that ourselves. And I'll never forget it. And I want to pick on Sister Shannon. Very first time they came here in 2012 in the summer, the very first thing that came to my mind was this verse when I saw Sister Shannon Wells. She's a royal priesthood. She is my sister. She is your sister. We are sisters and brothers in Christ. We are heirs. If she's a royal priesthood, you're a royal priesthood. If your sister is a royal priesthood, your brother is a royal priesthood. We need to be reminded of that and just not single each other out, not compare ourselves with each other, but we are all sons and daughters. We are heirs to this in Jesus' name. Aren't you thankful for that? Can we give God a hand clap? Praise. The word is tried. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure. The same in Psalms 12:6 says, the word of the Lord are pure words, as silver is tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Our faith in God will also be tested at times through the fire. It isn't an option. This is something that we will all encounter at some time in our life. In 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet also by fire. I don't know anybody more tried through the fire than Job was in the Bible. And Job 23:10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's one thing that I recognized when I read that, and you could read a scripture over and over, but God will point something out. Job did not blame the enemy. He did not blame other people, but he says, God is doing this. God is refining me. He was a man of just ultimate character and integrity. He did not point the finger at anybody. He goes, this is me. This is what God is doing to me. He is refining me. In Jesus' name. A silversmith was asked, how long is silver put into the fire before it's refined? He goes, this is an easy one. He goes, until I can see a reflection of myself in the silver, that's when I know that it has been fully refined. God will refine us. God will try us. God will test us. We will be put in the fire, and we're wondering, how long will we be put in the fire? You know what? Until he refines us and sees a reflection of himself in us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is not bound by what someone else says. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, and I'll be honest with you, I only got this through reading, read over the years. Some things that you just need to get by just having this personal devotion time with God. It says in Deuteronomy 18:21-22, and it says, if thou sayest in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing falleth not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. That means he's overstepping his bounds. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. We need discernment. We need to pray for discernment more than ever. This world is being deceived like never before. If God says to desire the gifts of the Spirit, there is one gift, if you don't have, that I would earnestly desire and pray for, that is gift of discerning of spirits, that you need this. We need this. We all need this individually in our lives to discern what is true and what is not true. What is true? It lines up with the Word of God. If it's done in spirit, it'll be confirmed in the Word. It has to line up with the Word of God. I remember Brother Calthorpe, he got up and spoke, I think it was at the men's conference, and he said people would come up and say, you know what, I got a word from the Lord for you, brother. And he goes, is that so? He would let the person speak, and he says, you know what, in my word, in the Bible here, it doesn't line up with what you're saying. God has given us all this ability. He's a man of God, has been served faithfully for many years, but whether you've served for many years or you're just in this for, this is your first year for 6 months. You need to pray for discernment. I don't want to be deceived. There's a whole big wave of deceitfulness that's been moving across this country and across this world. I don't want to get caught in that wave. In Jesus' name. When Samuel heard the voice of God for the first time, for the first three times, he thought it was Eli, his pastor. I also got a text from someone not too long ago, and immediately just a red flag just went up in my mind when I saw what the text was and what a picture was on the text, and it was encouraging me to go look into something, and the person says, you know what, I got this through prayer, and I'm thinking, man, I haven't talked to you in at least a year, and you know, I don't want to discredit that, because God can just lay something on somebody's heart that you haven't talked to in a long time, but I want to make sure, like, Lord, is this of you? And I saw something that didn't seem right. I went to my pastor about it, and I got confirmation that something just wasn't right about that. And I was thankful for that. I just didn't let it put on my mind, but I went and got counsel about it. Don't be afraid to ever get counsel from a brother or sister. Don't be afraid to ever get counsel in the leadership of this church. Don't assume anything. But you know what? Let's communicate. Let's talk to each other. Let's bear each other's burdens. We're in this together. We don't have to go and have things stuck in the back of our mind, but just bring them out. If you don't have peace about something, and you need to share it with somebody, go to a brother or sister. Go to the leadership in this church. Share this together. Get counsel. There's wisdom in counsel. It's very important to do. I'm going to close with this thought. It wasn't too long ago. I was reading in Matthew chapter 17, and it says, at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. I came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy upon my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but he couldn't heal them. I'm sure when the disciples heard the man say that, they had a big lump in their throat. Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Excuse me. When Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him, at that moment, the boy was well. And verse 17 stopped me. I feel like I do have faith. And I do. I don't think that I have anything corrupt in my heart, my mind. But what caused the Word of God to just permeate inside of me? I'm just being honest. I don't want to be superficial. I don't want to ever put on a mask or try to be something that I'm not when I walk into the house of God. Because I want to allow others to come in here and let them be themselves, let them be real. So they don't put on this mask and they don't put these layers on and they can't be real and they can't be healed properly. In Jesus' name. I remember it was just a couple days ago, I went to pass the mantle. And when we do put a mask on, and he was talking about putting on armor. And he said this one thing that just resonated with me. He says, when people go out to battle and they put their armor on, he said, more people have died in battle by putting armor on before they heal properly than people that have never been injured and put their armor on. So we need to heal properly and then put on the armor of God. We need to allow ourselves to be healed properly. And I'm not just talking about physical healing. And I know that there's many that have physical need a physical touch from God. But we also need to let God heal and permeate every part of me. I need to take this layer off and let God permeate. Lord, get into areas, Lord. Lord, if that layer is stuck on me and I don't know how to deal with that situation, Lord, break me. Allow myself to be broken. He won't reject the humble. He won't reject the humble, but he will. I remember Brother Levine told me one time, he goes, if you let pride in your heart, God will violently shove you away. I don't want God to just violently shove me away, but I want to be approachable to God. I want God to be approachable to me. I want him to come, when he comes close to me, I don't want him to come around me and pass me by, but Lord, stop right here until something needs to be fixed right here in this heart. To this mind, in Jesus' name. Because in John 14:12, it says, the works that I do, he shall also do, and greater works than these shall he do. I want to see that. I desire that. I don't know about you. I've heard about this. I hear about it being done in other countries. I hear it done and being in other churches. Lord, permeate. Lord, don't let anything corrupt in my heart and my mind that I may not even be aware of. Lord, examine me, Lord, in Jesus' name, that these works that you do and greater works shall ye do can be made manifest, that no layer will hinder it, no unbrokenness will hinder that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I am thankful for brokenness. Brokenness is painful. Brokenness hurts. Taking a layer off, that's a little painful too, especially when it's stuck to your hair and you got to pull it like a piece of duct tape or a piece of tape that's stuck on there really well. Lord, permeate me. Permeate my thoughts. Permeate my spirit. I'm so thankful. I just want to say this before we end. I'm so thankful for the faithful influence that we have when we come to church every day. I'm so thankful for the faithful spans that have been here over the years. I'm so thankful for Sister Pat's that have been here. I'm so thankful for the Davises that showed me and this church faithfulness over the years. In Jesus' name. I just want to read something. I got this Bible I got in 2004 when I received the Holy Ghost. I'm like, man, I want a new Bible. I had Tony Paris order for me. It's got these tabs. Some of them are missing. It's been a little used, but one thing that I appreciate, and I'm like, man, I want to have all kinds of these missionaries. I want to have all these evangelists sign my Bible, though I only had one person since 2004 sign my Bible, and it was Brother Davis. He said, thank you on behalf of myself, my family, and the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich for your faithful service. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep the faith and love the coming of the Lord. And it's something that I will cherish forever. I'm so thankful for God's faithful people that I could look to and say, you know what? They made it. They went through it. They went through fires. They went through storms. And they're still standing. Their sails are torn, but their anchor is holding. They're not going anywhere. They're in this to the very end. And the end is in sight. The finish line is in sight. I'm so thankful for that. We could all stand at this time and just thank God for his word. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you, Lord, for forgiving us, Lord, when we fall short of being faithful to you, Lord. When we fall short of putting you first, Lord, in the center of our heart and our mind, in the center of decisions, Lord, that we've made without acknowledging you, Lord, or getting your counsel in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place and what you're about to do and your anointing in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you are worthy, God, and worthy to be praised, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Worthy to be praised in the storm. Worthy to be praised when we're tried in the fire, Lord. May we come out, Lord, whatever we go into, Lord, and to be refined, Lord, that you see a reflection of yourself in every one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. To God be the glory, Lord, for what you are doing and what you've done and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Excellent. Excellent. Classes are going to be returning here momentarily. We're at the break time. We're going to put some soft music on in the background. If you'd like to pray, obviously the altars are open. We would encourage you to pray. If you need to converse, we would ask that you would do so outside the sanctuary. And what a good word. What a good word. Thank you, Brother Craig. Hallelujah. One more time, can we lift our hands? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank God for your faithfulness, God. How wonderful, God, it is to serve you, to know you, God. I thank you, God, for faithful men like Brother Craiger, God. Lord, who are the foundation, God, of what goes on here. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Our hearts and minds, God, attuned to your spirit, God, that you would permeate, God, that you, God, would do a great work in our heart and our lives. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, Jesus. In your precious name, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're dismissed until 11 o'clock.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give.